G'day, Richard. How are you, mate?
I'm well, thanks, Dave. How are you?
I'm very well. We're here at the Hub recording another maturity podcast.
We are upstairs today. Hopefully the background noise is all right.
It's probably appealing. Background noise, people chatting, having coffees, that type of thing.
More atmosphere.
Absolutely, because we're just a living, happening place here at the Hub.
There are many living things in this building. Not all of them human, Dave.
Now, at Maturity Podcast, we want to provide ideas, tools, and resources for people leading growth groups, in particular Home Bible Church. What are we talking about today?
Well, today we're going to talk about this whole sermon Bible study connection. Do you have Bible studies that follow the sermon, connected to the sermon, precede the sermon, Sunday sermon, that sort of thing?
Yeah. From what I understand, this is a, particularly in Australia, a relatively new thing. And by relatively, I mean, you know, in the last 50 years.
Yeah. Well, like growth groups have only been around for 50 years.
So. Yeah, that's right. But even the idea of growth groups following the sermon series, that wasn't how growth groups always kind of ran.
No, I don't think so. And I don't confess to be an expert on small groups in Australia.
I am so disappointed that I would have thought this is something you would just be reading about in your spare time.
It's funnily enough, I find reading theology much more interesting than reading about small groups. You can go to the Christian bookshop and there's a whole row of shelves on, whole shelf of books on small group ministry, but I struggle to read small group books. My passion is theology, teaching the Bible, the gospel.
That probably what makes you a good small group.
Well, thanks.
Good maturity leader. There we go. Now, we should probably actually talk about this. But the idea was, from what I understand, growth groups kind of kicked off as groups meeting together to read the Bible, and it was a separate passage from the sermon that they were listening to on Sunday. But in the last, I'm going to say, at least in Australia, probably the last 10 years, where more and more churches, there probably were churches before that, but more and more churches connecting the Bible study material to the sermon on Sunday.
Yeah, I would say so, more commonly now than it used to be. Yeah. I know I read Larry Osborne's book, Sticky Church, and I think that was a big feature of his ministry.
And that was something that, so he wrote that 10 years ago, and that was something that he was doing 10 years before that in the States. So I think in the States it's actually been around a lot longer.
Yeah,
but I think in Australia it's been a bit less.
So I think probably rather than provide a definitive verdict on how to do church and small groups, we just talk about the pros and cons of both and a little bit of why we do things the way we do here at HBC.
Let's go through some of the pros.
Yep. So pros of having the sermon, then a Bible study after it.
Yep.
On the week after. The pros would be the group gets to explore the applications of that passage more than they would otherwise.
Yep. And potentially explore the exposition of the passage deeper than what was in the sermon. So if the sermon's only for 25-30 minutes, that's not all exposition of the passage. And so being able to, he looked at that verse. How did he get? I can see that now. That type of thing. So there's potential to do the conviction of the passage a little bit more, as well as the application. I think just jumping to a con, I wonder if that might be a harder thing to do because people feel like they've already looked at it. They've already.
Yes, the answer's been given, so they need to just repeat what the answer was. Moving quickly to a con there. It may not inspire people to investigate the passage for themselves.
Yeah, that's right. They feel like it's already done. Let's just talk about the application.
And I think some of the post-sermon studies that I've seen in books, I don't know if it was Larry Osborne's or another, were things like when Pastor Dave spoke about the parable, there were three things.
He drew three things out of it.
What were those three things?
Yeah, that's right. So now, again, that can be a con because people aren't looking at the Bible at that point. But an interesting pro can be for many people, reading carefully and if they haven't been to uni or they don't feel confident, even listening to the sermon, going over the sermon for them is of great value to their faith.
Yeah.
As long as the sermon's faithful to the Bible and they're going over what was in there, that so for many people, they might find that re-going through a helpful thing, whereas they might find the careful study of the Bible harder. Yeah,
I'm pretty nervous. I can't be Roman Catholic to me, Dave.
Wow, that is. There you have it, people. Richard Sweatman just accused me of being a Roman Catholic. That ends today's maturity podcast.
No, sorry. Maybe it was a bit harsh on you there, Dave.
No, it is a high risk. I suppose what I'm trying to do is explain the pragmatic pull towards.
Yeah,
doing that type of thing.
Yeah,
for people who struggle with language and people who struggle with big ideas, how it gets talked about, then this is easier for them. It's more loving and caring, and so you can see how there's a pragmatic pull towards that.
There's probably a social pull as well. Like we're the people who are there on Sunday, and we're the people who are here now on Tuesday, and to get the most out of Tuesday, you had to be there at Sunday, and likewise, and so it sort of reinforces that community side of things.
Yeah. What about doing doing the Bible study before the talk?
Yes. Well, the pros of that approach are you're approaching the text fairly fresh with not too many ideas. You're investing in it yourself. You're trying to figure out what it means. And hopefully then on Sunday, unresolved questions are answered. Applications that might have been a bit tentative at your study because it's a group environment and you might not go quite so hard.
Yeah.
The preacher can, go further along on the exposition and then go deeper and more clearly, more firmly on the applications.
Well,
I think there are pros there for looking at the passage beforehand and then the sermon.
Yeah, I think I would like to think that it communicates something, that we're saying, you guys work it out first because you can, that we trust you guys to be able to answer the passage, to be able to understand the passage. But the opposite could also happen. So this is one of the cons that it can be, you guys have a go first.
Yeah, that's right.
And then we'll tell you what it's really about. Good try. You tried very hard.
Yes.
Your group did a good job.
Yes.
But it's actually this.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's the disadvantage. So I think...
Are there other cons beforehand?
Doing it beforehand? Not that I can think of. Yeah, that's the main one. Just feeling like, we don't have to try too hard because someone will come in and give us the answers.
Yeah.
And we're not left hanging here trying to figure it out. So they're the main cons.
I can think of a pro as well. If your church does question time, so we try to do question time sometimes. Think the ability for the passage to raise questions increases if you look at it beforehand, because you're looking at it going, I think it means this and this, and you might have a question already, or you've got an idea, and then the preacher says this way, and you're like, I can see how they got that. What about this? I think it leads to more questions from the passage. Whereas you just have a sermon and a question time, usually the questions spring out of the application of the sermon rather than the passage. So I think it can helpfully move people towards that.
Yep. I think other pros is just having that part of the Bible in the atmosphere around church for the period. So people, whether you're going before or after the sermon, and in the way our studies and talks were, they don't always line up anyway because our preparation starts many months ago.
Yeah.
It's just in the atmosphere. People are thinking about it, talking about it.
That's probably what we're saying. Though at Hunter Bible Church, our Bible studies and our sermons are connected, they're loosely connected, aren't they?
Yeah. Yep.
So we will have some studies, some Bible studies, some groups that they will actually find themselves doing the passage after the sermon.
Yes.
And some of them will do it 3 or 4 weeks before, because they will move through a passage. The group will move faster through a chapter or two than the sermons will. Our sermons might dwell on 6 verses for 3 weeks or something, and then move on to the larger chunks because it works better for a sermon series.
Yeah. It's part of our philosophy of small group ministry here at HBC. We do see our group leaders as teachers of their group. So they have the responsibility and the authority and freedom to be able to slow down, go faster, change things. So, the word I tend to use, we're drifting into how we do it here, obviously. The word I tend to use is like synchronizing. We synchronize the sermon and the Bible study.
Energy?
Synergy.
Synergy. We've just got to find some other buzzwords.
It's okay. Are you making fun of my buzzword? It's like, I thought it was just a neutral technical term. They're close.
Yeah.
But not sort of in lockstep with each other.
Yeah.
And that's sort of given the trust that we have for our leaders.
Yeah, that's right. And so I think you're right. I think at the end of a term, say, where my group has gone through these 3-4 chapters of Hebrews, and we've done it in this type of way, we've really highlighted these bits, and at the same time at church the sermons have gone through the same chapters, but they've really highlighted these bits and these bits, rather than two conflicting teachings on Hebrews, I've got two things working together that I actually know Hebrews heaps better than if they were concretely in sync.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think that demonstrates that the ultimate authority in our church is Scripture itself, not Pastor A or Pastor B.
There's not one way to break this passage up, which is the right way, and stuff like that. Mm. You just read the passage, and for this purpose, we're reading this way. For that purpose, we're reading that way.
Yeah, so people hopefully look back and think, oh, yeah, I learned Hebrews, I learned these things. I can't remember if I learned that in a sermon or a study or a discussion with a friend or whatever.
Just quickly before we finish, if you are a growth group leader, what are some ways to leverage that synchronicity in your group?
I think questions like, how did you find the talk on Sunday at the start of your group casually? What do you think of those applications? Or if you're leading up to it, what questions do we still have at the end of this study? What are we looking for answers for this talk coming up on Sunday? Just spurring people on to come to Sunday, come to growth group.
Yes.
Be committed to both things, particularly for this time. And I think you get more value.
Yeah.
Another thing before we finish, why not? The reason HBC, we don't do this every term, despite the advantages, there are advantages of that synchronicity. I'm keen to have other material in other terms just because there's so much in the Bible we want to cover.
Yeah.
If talks match Bible studies for the whole year, you've kind of halved the amount of Bible you can look at.
Yeah. Because ultimately we want people... Over the space of 5-10 years, we want them to see heaps of the Bible in church.
So that's why we just focus every now and again, but otherwise it's groups, talks, doing different things, and even at different times our leaders choosing their own material, so taking people in different directions.
But all towards Jesus.
That's not necessarily the perfect answer, and for every church, it's how we're doing here, and we've done it for the last few years.
No, I think it's really helpful for our growth group leaders to keep thinking through, for us to keep explaining why we've made the decisions that we've made, and one, it's not arbitrary, and two, it's not controlling. It's actually we think it's the best thing at the moment, so come with us, understand why we're thinking this through in this particular way. Yeah, because we think it'll help them.
Yeah, that's the prayer.
Yeah. Thanks, Richard.
No worries. Thanks, Dave.
See ya.